This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Dave Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures on Friday of last week at the Board of Trade had corn fading into the afternoon and closed in the red. Beans closed a nickel lower Friday, and wheat was weaker on Friday as well. First off, afternoon trading pushed corn even lower as futures headed into the weekend with a 5.5 to 6 cent loss. March contracts were down by 8.5 cents last week. USDA reported a large export sale of 182,000 metric tons of corn to Mexico under the daily reporting system. The official census had corn shipments at 145 million bushel in October. That's 60% above last year, but down from 149 million bushels in September. Dried distillers' grains were at a 9-year low for the month of October, with 951,500 metric tons shipped. Ethanol exports from October, on the other hand, were at a 2-year high with 126.5 million gallons shipped. Census data showed that 247,000 metric tons of sorghum were shipped in October, and that is a 5-year high. Moving on to soybeans, selling late in the session pushed beans down to 4.5 to 5.5 on the day. January closed 28.75 below two Fridays ago. Soybean meal futures closed $4 to $4.50 lower Friday. Soybean oil, on the other hand, was 51 to 68 cents higher. Official census soybean exports for October were at a record of 420.34 million bushels. Soybean meal exports were at 995,000 metric tons, and soybean oil shipments in October were at 83,000 metric tons. Moving on, finally, Friday trading sent wheat futures into the weekend with losses. Chicago wheat was 5.25 to 9 cents lower, with a 5% loss for March from Friday to Friday. Kansas City hard red wheat was 3.75 to 7 cents lower, with March 4% lower than two Fridays ago. Minneapolis spring wheat was 3 to 4.5 cents lower on Friday and 19.5 cents lower last week. Census data for the month of October showed the official wheat exports for October were at 63.96 million bushel. That's down from 98.7 million bushel in September and 83.4 million bushel in October of last year. So let's go back over and recap last Friday's grain futures from the Board of Trade in Chicago. December corn was at 417, down 5.5 on Friday. March corn closed at 420.5, down 6. May corn Friday was down to 423.25, down by 5.5 cents. Soybeans for January closed at 1163, down by 5.25. March beans down to 1165, down by 5.25 as well. May beans closed Friday at 1163.75, down 4.5. Soybean meal for January was down 450 at 385.50. January soybean oil closed at 38.41, up 68 cents. Finally, wheat out of Chicago closed at 575.5, down 9. Kansas City wheat for March closed at 542.75, down 7. And March Minneapolis wheat closed at 550.5, down by 3 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's cash grain report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon grain prices and trends. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Friday afternoon in northern West Illinois. Country grain yields quoted shell corn bids down 3 cents at 389 to 420. Soybean bids were 5 cents lower at 1113 to 1158. In central Illinois, country grain yields quoted shell corn bids down 6 cents at $4 to 427. Soybean bids were 5 cents lower at 1140 to 1169. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 3 to 4 cents at 404 to 440. Soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents lower at 1143. 1185. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids are down 5 to 7 cents at 1168 to 1183. Basis is unchanged to down 2 at 5 over to 20 over January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $385.50 to $395.50 a ton, down $4.50 to $7.50 a ton, with basis steady to down 3 at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 cents lower at 416 to 446, with basis unchanged at 500 to 25 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted it produced the corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at 422 to 426, with basis up 2 to 3 at 1 over to 5 over the March. Soybeans ended down 5 cents at 11.58 to 11.61, with basis mixed at 500 to 1 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal placed their producer corn bids 4 cents lower, 4.47 to 4.50. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 3 to 4 cents. Quotations at 11.88 to 11.89. Soft wheat closed down 9 cents at 6.05, 6.06. Milo ended the day 6 cents lower at 4.91 to 4.92. Contract bids for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 3.89 to 4.21, soybeans at 11.13 to 11.58. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.01 to 4.27, soybeans at 11.40 to 11.68. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.08 to 4.49, soybeans at 11.50 to 11.95. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock report here on a Monday morning. Cattle closed mixed on Friday, and hogs were lower going into the weekend. First off, in cattle, live cattle futures were 12 to 22 cents lower, and a 72-cent drop was seen in the December contract after options rolled off the board. Feeder cattle futures ended the session Friday mostly higher, with 7 to 10-cent gains in the front months. January contracts ended with a 2-cent loss on the day. A few Friday catch-up sales were noted at $109, and the bulk of last week's business was at $110. For dress sales in the north, the range was $170 to $176, with majority from $172 to $174. Wholesale box beef prices fell sharply Friday, with a $4.17 drop in the choice and a $2.42 drop in selects. And the USDA estimated that last week's cattle slaughter through Saturday was at 667,000 head. That's down from 682,000 head last year, and year-to-date slaughter trails last year by 3.5%. Moving on to your hogs, lean hog futures closed the last trading day of the week mixed, but mostly lower. April contracts were 2 cents higher on the day, but other contracts were 15 to 35 cents lower. December hogs closed even on Friday, as they did two Fridays ago. The lean hog index was 16 cents lower to 66.55 on Wednesday. National average afternoon base hog prices for Friday were 46 cents lower, 55.81. Pork cutout futures closed 92 to $1.92 lower. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was reported at 78.17 in the afternoon update, $1.12 higher. Finally, the USDA estimated the federally inspected hog slaughter for last week through Saturday was 2.789 million head, down 15,000 head from last year. Year-to-date slaughter this year remains 0.8% ahead of last year, with 121,582 million head slaughtered in 2020. So recapping your livestock futures from Friday off the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago, December cattle closed at 108.87, down 72 cents. February cattle at 112.40, down 17 cents. April cattle at 116.17, down 12 cents. January feeder cattle were down to 139.77, down by 2 cents. March feeders closed at 139.42, up 10 cents. April feeders closed at 140.77, up 7 cents. Moving on to your hog futures, December hogs closed at 65.87 on Friday, down by 15 cents. February hogs closed at 66.57, down 35 cents. April hogs closed at 70.50, down 2 cents. And the December pork cutout closed at 79.45, down 92 cents on Friday. Now we'll move along and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield on this Monday morning to recap Friday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 46 cents lower, in a range of 50 to 58.50, with a weighted average carcass price of 55.81. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were $1 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. For U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $26 to $29, 4 to 5 weighted $28 to $32, 5 to 6 weighted $31 to $36, and over 600 pounds $34 to $39. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts country buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $35 to $41. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts had totaled $29,472. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, Choice steers live basis trade at 107 to 111. And on a dress basis at 166 to 174. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 110 and on a dress basis at 170. From the National Daily Pork Plant Board, trading for retail and processing cuts was Stice, with 348 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was 78.17, which is $1.72 higher. From the box beef cutout port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcass 235.02, which is $4.17 lower, while select carcass were 217.51, which is $2.42 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 117,000, compared to 115,000 last week and 122,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 491,000, compared to 480,000 last week and 488,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Pros Drainage, and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you, and by Stein Seed. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now for Ag News on this Monday morning. Outgoing House Ag Chairman Colin Peterson has laid down a legislative marker for his successor to use the popular Conservation Reserve Program to address climate pollution. Peterson wants incoming Ag Chairman David Scott, the first African American to head the panel, to harness the popularity of the CRP program to capture carbon pollution. Peterson told reporters that his bill, House Rule 8843, was his parting shot and a marker, unlikely to become law before he leaves office.
All this talk about climate change and carbon capture and so forth, I just don't think people have thought about the best program we have to deal with that. And I'm hoping today to put this on the radar screen.
Peterson's bill would add 25 million acres to CRP.
It requires the secretary to, they actually have to sign up 50 million acres and give them 5 years to do it. And, but, you know, under the old program, it allowed them to go up to that level. This would actually require it.
Peterson also says his bill uses a successful existing program to pay farmers to store carbon instead of a whole new regime. Others have proposed expanding the less popular Conservation Stewardship Program, or CSP, but Peterson says there's not enough money to do that. As for the new committee leaders, he has this to say.
I know David Scott has said to me that he's going to listen to my counsel, so I think what I'm putting forward will have an impact with him. I would assume maybe it would with GT as well, but we're going to have new leadership, and I think they're very capable leaders, and I have no doubt they're going to do a good job.
GT, referring to Republican Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, and he is the incoming ranking member on the House Ag Committee. And as outgoing House Ag Chairman Colin Peterson had mentioned, Congressman David Scott of Georgia made history last Thursday by officially being named the first African-American chairman of the House Ag Committee. The Democratic caucus approved him to lead the committee that oversees American agriculture, forestry, nutrition, and rural development. I'm honored to be chosen by my colleagues in the Democratic caucus to serve as chairman of the House Ag Committee, said Scott. I will use this historic opportunity to represent the values of our entire caucus and advance our priorities on trade, disaster aid, climate change, sustainable agriculture, SNAP, crop insurance, small family farms, specialty crops, and rural broadband. Scott also says the fault lines between rural and urban communities are running deep, and I will lead the fight to rise and meet the challenges, he also said. Scott has been in Congress and a member of the House Ag Committee since 2003. In his various leadership roles on the House Ag Committee, Scott has chaired the Subcommittee on Commodity Exchange, Energy and Credit, as well as the Livestock and Foreign Agriculture Committee. The new House Ag Chairman grew up working on his grandparents' farm and understands the critical role that agriculture plays in the national economy. Moving on now into the latest news on conventions and other events being postponed or put virtually due to the coronavirus pandemic. The American Farm Bureau Federation has officially opened up the registration period for the 2021 American Farm Bureau Virtual Annual Convention that's coming up on January 10th through the 13th. For the first time in history, the group has waived all registration fees to give all Farm Bureau members, as well as anyone interested in agriculture, the opportunity to experience one of agriculture's premier events from the comfort and safety of their own home. We are excited to open up the doors of this event and bring home the high-quality content our attendees have come to expect from our events, says Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall. Our featured speakers this year are no strangers to the Farm Bureau. Duvall says they're honored to have Mike Rowe of the hit TV series Dirty Jobs and his newest show called Returning the Favor. He'll join the virtual convention and the special guest during the fireside chats in the closing general session. Land O'Lakes President and CEO Beth Ford will also join the convention to talk about hot topics and the issues facing agriculture. The event also features an inspirational keynote address from Navy SEAL Commander Rourke T. Denver. In other news here on your Monday, the Farm Service Agency would like to remind you that a couple of important deadlines are quickly approaching on Friday. FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce says the deadline for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program Part 2 is on Friday. The program has already assisted many producers across the country, but time is growing short to get new applications submitted by the Friday deadline.
We have certainly had a tremendous response to CFAP 2. As of Monday, well over $11 billion have gone out to producers in payments, and that has gone to almost 704,000 different producers in the CFAP 2 program. We continue to get applications, and that dollar amount continues to climb. But as a reminder, folks need to at least make their county office aware that they want to sign up for CFAP 2 and need to do that before December 11.
The second round of CFAP assistance covers more commodities than the first round did.
Sales commodities, and those are going to be primarily specialty crops and aquaculture species, price trigger commodities, and those are going to be kind of our traditional row crops, livestock and dairy. And then we have a category that we call flat rate row crops, and those would be commodities that either didn't meet a 5% price decline or we didn't have sufficient data to determine that they had hit a 5% price decline. Those all are going to be paid based on 2020 planted acres. Those are going to be paid at $15 an acre. There are some exceptions, but almost anything that our farmers and ranchers out there are producing is likely eligible.
Friday, December 11th, is also the deadline to sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program as well. Fordyce says the DMC is the Farm Service Agency's primary risk management program, and it's much improved over the version that began back in the 2014 Farm Bill.
It was revised and improved in the 2018 Farm Bill. Congress listened to some of the concerns of the dairy sector and made some improvements, raised the coverage levels, lowered the premiums, and really changed a little bit about how we actually figure margin and put some components in that cost piece of the equation that actually maybe more truly reflects the cost of feed. If you're a dairy operator and you have not gotten signed up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, would strongly urge you to take a look at that.
As the deadline draws closer, producers may find it more convenient to schedule an appointment at their local county FSA office.
2019 was our first year of coverage, and we had over 22,000 operations that signed up. We saw that number fall off a little bit for the 2020 coverage year, but we anticipate good sign up. Anytime we have a sign up deadline, it's human nature is we know when the deadline is, so we know we have until then to sign up. And so we see this just a lot in a lot of our programs. It really kind of ramps up that last week or so. We're on pace to be close to the 2020 sign up, but again, would just encourage folks, if you are a dairy operation, to take a look at the Dairy Margin Coverage Program.
Producers can also find CFAP 2 information online at farmers.gov/CFAP. Or go to fsa.usda.gov and search under Programs and Services to find DMC information. Now moving on to State of Illinois Ag News for your Monday, researchers are putting a new twist on a very old soil conservation practice. A WASCOB, or WASCOB for short, stands for Water and Sediment Control Basin. It's an updated version of a dry dam. Those have been used for a long time to slow soil erosion around Illinois. The WASCOB, however, adds nutrient runoff to that list by holding water in place behind the dam for a longer duration, according to Southern Illinois University scientist John Schoonover, He's been working on a series of WAS cobs in Menard County around the Petersburg area.
Each one of these are equipped with a control structure where we can monitor the discharge and we can also monitor the stage within each one of those basins. The ones without WAS cobs have partial flumes at the end, so we can also do a comparison of that water coming out of the outlet, so how much drainage we're getting through these basins. The basins are retaining water about 12 hours on average, I'd say. So they're holding water back for a little while, and that's allowing for some processing going on. So we're seeing DRP concentrations, or dissolved reactive phosphorus concentrations, about half of what we're seeing in the non-WASCOB watershed. So there is some microbial processing going on. TSS is settling out. We have some denitrification probably occurring in those watersheds as well, because we're seeing lower nitrate concentrations in those outlets compared to the upper basins.
Dry dams are just that, dry until it rains, and then they can be farmed through and over. They act as a detention basin holding back the water. There is a tile line beneath the detention basin and a tile riser for larger events. The tile is generally best used to control nutrient runoff if it dumps into another nutrient call structure. A grass buffer zone is a good example of that. But if you'd like to learn more about WAS cobs and other nutrient loss reduction practices, then check out the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast online. You can just Google that, Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, and you should be able to find it. Also in other state ag news, as we look forward to the 2021 growing season, crop insurance for next year includes a couple of new options for farmers to consider. The options are in addition to the most normal crop insurance policies. The first was actually introduced this last year, SCO, or the Supplemental Coverage Option. The new one for 2021 is ECO, or Enhanced Coverage Option. Here's how Illinois Extension's Gary Schnittke says ECO works.
ECO will offer farmers a coverage from either 90 to 95% down to 86%. Farmers can use that in conjunction with SCO to get coverage down to their coverage level of their selected product.
Now it's time to get reacquainted with all the acronyms again for the next year. ECO can be used with the pre-existing PLC or ARC Federal Safety Net Program. SCO is only available with PLC. ECO makes payments based on county yields. Most farmers take RP, or Revenue Protection Crop Insurance, and that's based off farm-level yields, not the whole county. But here's how all three would work together. RP, or Revenue Protection, makes up the difference in revenue lost up to the insured amount. Let's say 80% is selected for the farm level. SCO for PLC users only, then covers losses from 80 up to 86%. ECO then covers losses from that 86% to either 90 or 95%, depending on what farmers want to buy, according to Schnittke.
By the way, if I were buying it, I would buy ECO and maybe skip SCO. ECO is going to pay on a more of a band than SCO would.
However, the only thing is that ECO could be pretty expensive, of course, going all the way up to 95% loss coverage. For example, in Champaign County, it would cost $7 to $8 an acre more for coverage up to 90% and $21 an acre to 95% coverage. Those numbers are in addition to the regular crop insurance costs that occur normally. And in news from the Illinois Soybean Association, last week the association board of directors seated two newly elected at-large directors. They are Jeff O'Connor of Kankakee and Brady Holst of Plymouth. O'Connor earned a bachelor's degree in ag economics from the University of Illinois, and he is a certified crop advisor and has recently earned a sustainability specialist certification. In addition, O'Connor has spent 25 years serving Kankakee County as director with the Soil and Water Conservation District. He routinely opens up his farm to legislators, oversees grain buyers, college students, and the urban community in order to share the history and story of modernized agriculture. Holst attended the University of Illinois as well, where he studied agricultural and biological engineering. He's an American Soybean Association Young Leader Program participant and believes it's in his background of science, technology, engineering, and math, along with a knowledge of how to effectively market a message, that makes him well-equipped to serve on the ISA board. And in local ag news for your Monday, don't forget that tomorrow, Tuesday at 11 a.m., Unit 18 of the University of Illinois Extension, including Montgomery, Macoupin, Christian, and Jersey counties, will be having a 2021 Farm Program and Crop Insurance Decisions Enrollment Webinar. The election and enrollment period for ARC and PLC for the coming year is now open, and decisions must be made by the 15th. New insurance programs like ECO and SCO are also options for this coming next year. The webinar will address those decisions and provide some examples and recommendations for typical Illinois farm situations. This webinar would be a great way to learn more about the previous interview back with Gary Schnittke with the U of I, and he is one of the presenters of this webinar. So if you'd like to learn more about the crop insurance programs for next year, along with ARC, PLC, ECO, and SCO, this would be a great opportunity. Again, that webinar is tomorrow, Tuesday, at 11 a.m. Also tomorrow, Tuesday, another webinar from the U of I Extension District 18 will take place at 6:30 Tuesday evening, and it's the Health at Home Holiday Edition, helping you balance extra calories throughout the holiday season. You can learn tips to enjoy your favorite foods, along with keeping physical activity in mind to keep your toes moving right into the new year. The presenter of tomorrow evening's webinar is Lisa Peterson with the U of I Extension District 18 here in our local area. And again, that second webinar of the day tomorrow, Tuesday, will be held at 6:30 p.m. For more information on tomorrow's two webinars, call the Montgomery County Extension Office or your local County Extension Office. Local number for Hillsboro is 532-3941. And that'll wrap up Ag News here on your Monday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Monday morning, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.